RCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. President Trump's trade war with America's neighbors Mexico and Canada deferred.
The tariffs now delayed for a month to negotiate, but there is still significant uncertainty. Trump hasn't detailed what kind of progress he's looking for in order to reach a final deal and avert potentially devastating economic consequences.
But 10% tariffs against China went into effect today, China retaliating with its own set of tariffs on U.S. imports. We're learning that President Trump is making strides at closing the Department of Education. Elon Musk and members of the Department of Government Efficiency seen inside the building. In Sweden, 10 people dead in a shooting at an adult education center about 125 miles west of Stockholm. Others injured, including the shooter. Motive unclear. The Senate Finance Committee voting along party lines to advance Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s nomination to Secretary of Health and Human Services. For now, doesn't appear to be enough opposition in the GOP-controlled Senate to block the confirmation. This is ABC News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For WRCE 107.7 and AM 1450 News, I'm Tim Thede. Governor Evers, together with Wisconsin Office of the Commissioner of Insurance Commissioner Nathan Houdek, announced Friday that according to the Centers of Medicare and Medicaid Services, 313,579 Wisconsinites signed up for health insurance on the individual marketplace through the Affordable Care Act during the 2025 open enrollment period, making a nearly 18% increase from the previous period and the highest enrollment Wisconsin has ever reached. This year's record surpasses the year's record-breaking enrollment by more than 47,250 enrollees, underscoring that continued importance of affordable health care coverage options through the ACA. This announcement comes as last week, Governor Evers, as part of his 2025 State of the Union address, also announced new efforts in his upcoming 2025 through 27 executive budget to ensure Wisconsinites have access to affordable quality health care, including increasing access to necessary prescription medicine and improving consumer protections. Since it was signed into law by former President Barack Obama in 2010, the ACA has been transformational for folks and families across the state and country, providing health care coverage to millions of Wisconsin families and ensuring folks can access health insurance without lifetime limits and protecting the coverage of more than 100 million Americans, including 2.4 million Wisconsinites who have pre-existing conditions. Although the open enrollment period has closed, some individuals may qualify for special enrollment periods throughout the year due to their personal circumstance.
The Bucks get zapped by the Thunder. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks lost on the road to the Oklahoma City Thunder, 125-96. Milwaukee missing four of their top players, Giannis, Damian Lillard, Brooke Lopez, Chris Middleton. It was the Bucks' fourth straight loss. Pat Connington.
They're a tremendous team, and that's not a secret. For us, when you're in a game, when you're in a situation like where you're shorthanded and kind of, you know, like we were tonight, you got to think about the things that you can control.
College hoops, the Badgers host the Hoosiers from Indiana tonight in Madison. Greg Gard talked about their win over Northwestern over the weekend.
I didn't think we came really ready to compete right out of the gate on Saturday. So we got that fire lit a little bit. But I thought the group of Janicki, McGee, Amos was out there at time. Obviously, Gilmore did some good things in the first half. We got some energy going and got our juices going a little bit with that group off the bench. And that sometimes we need that.
That's Wisconsin's head coach Greg Gard. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Partly cloudy and chilly today, with high temperatures tapping 20 degrees and feisty winds knocking us back to really feeling about 10 to 15 degrees cooler. Those will ease tonight and we get warmer tomorrow, bringing a chance of snow in the afternoon and a wintry mix overnight. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlau. Currently, it's 15 degrees.
Carmelo Anthony for The Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, you're innocent until proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. But sure, you still presumed innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting the in-cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Matt Nair on air.
Dan Schaefer, Civic Media's political editor.
No court in the country came closer to overturning the 2020 election results than the conservative majority on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. And we have Brad Schimmel, who's been siding with January 6th rioters. So if you want your vote to count going forward, show up and vote on April 1st. Let's channel that energy into the Wisconsin Supreme Court race.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Earl Ingram.
On the next show, we'll be joined by Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson to talk about immigration in the city before talking with Dr. Robert Craig about the latest threats to our democracy.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10. This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with the fantastic producer and engineer, Mr. Aaron Zommers, on the board. It is 6 minutes past the hour of 12 noon. Welcome in on this Tuesday, February 4th, 2025. On a Tuesday, it is a great day to be a Wisconsinite. Sun's out, guns out. No, just the sun's out here in downtown Madison.
It's pretty chilly.
It's pretty chilly. If you had the guns out, it would be chilly. So welcome in, everybody. Nice day. Nice February day here in Madison. I think most of the state of Wisconsin. Some places yesterday had some snow and freezing rain, that sort of thing, some fog. But all in all, I think traffic, for the most part, looks like things are on normal and on time for a Tuesday. So glad to have you in. Big day, Zommers. It is Tuesday, which means our old friend Luke Mathers, Tuesday Tangents with Lukester at 1:30. Now, I was listening to our good friends Jane and Greg last hour, and God love them. They have a great program over there, and they were so kind enough to talk about to promo our show, our little dog and pony show over here. And I believe the line said, Luke and Todd spar on today. Do we do a lot of sparring?
I wouldn't call it sparring. I would say that sometimes there's some disagreement, but it's usually just a fun, lighthearted.
It's fun. It's just fun banter.
Right.
But I mean, we appreciate the promotion, and we get these liners and we read them the way they're written. That made me chuckle. I'm like, wait, did somebody not tell me that I need to put on my sparring gloves today?
I was going to say that gives us the idea of maybe in the future. I know you mentioned mud wrestling with Jane. Maybe you and Luke can mud wrestle.
No. Time out. What I had suggested is if it was a tie in the text to win contest, leg wrestling, not mud wrestling.
That's true. I did twist things. You're right. It was leg wrestling.
That would if be there was a tie. A very different type of event.
Yes, it would.
As it turns out. But no, it was a great pro. Greg's been on vacation. He's back today, so that was great. And, you know, Jane, you can't do better than that. I mean, she brings it every single day. And so it was they had a great program today. We're actually going to pick up on one of the things in a bit, what they were talking about, Elon Musk. Remember him?
Yes, it's impossible to forget.
The dude from South Africa. And we're going to lay this out, kind of connect it. Why is Musk so salty, ornery, about USAID and how that relates to what he's doing with the Treasury and a lot of other things. And it turns out it's he's a very simple guy when you get right down to it.
It does relate, though. There's some backstory there.
So we'll talk a little bit about that. And also, this may be my favorite story of the day later on in this show. All I'm going to say is three words: Trump, Hamas, and condoms.
You better stay tuned for that.
And that is not a Karnak the Magnificent type of joke from the old Johnny Carson show. Trump, Hamas, and condoms. later on in the show where the rubber hits the road. Anyway, so that'll be later on in the show. What else do we have? Oh, yeah, we got Tom Holman. Remember him?
What a guy.
The border czar. There's going to be trouble. There's going to be trouble, according to Tom Holman. Saying flat out. Guy is saying flat out. There's going to be violence.
Okay. They've said it before. Yeah. It's just that before you could hand wave it because it was in one of Trump's weaving rants. But now everyone saying it too.
Right. Well, as it turns out, he wasn't joking around. He actually is doing these things that he said, unfortunately. But anyway, let's get right to it. Yesterday, in the show on What's Worse, in hour number two as well. So you don't want to miss that. So we started the show yesterday with me telling a little story about times gone by when I used to have a Tom Selleck mustache back in the 1990s when I was working for U.S. Congressman Scott Klug and was down in El Salvador meeting with the U.S. ambassador down there and USAID trade officials and helping to do our little part to help cheese producers like Sargento, Governor Evers' hometown of Plymouth, Wisconsin, Sargento Cheese, and other cheese producers to sell dairy products in El Salvador and throughout Central America and Mexico. And tying together the Wisconsin impact of these now potential tariffs. In case you missed it, tariffs for Mexico and China temporarily put on hold. And this is the funny part. That because Trump said, I'm a big guy here. I'm a big guy. Look what I did. They've agreed to do X, Y, and Z. And the X, Y, and Z in part is Mexico said, oh, yeah, we had already agreed with Joe Biden before he left office that we were going to put more troops on the border. And Trump just claimed that he did that. And Canada said, yeah, we had already agreed with Biden to put some more helicopters and things. And Trump goes, oh, I actually did that. So he's using what Biden did, claiming it himself, and then saying, oh, because they backed down to me, now I'm going to hold off on the tariffs for 30 days. And you see, this is how this guy works. It's all about fear, right? So, okay, I was able to save face. We'll give you 30 days. But if you don't do the next thing I want you to do or that I can take credit for, we're going to put another 25% tariff. We're going to put the tariffs back on. There's one entity that does not like unsettledness. The financial markets, as it turns out. They don't like things being unsettled. And so the stock market did not do well yesterday. Lots of people selling things off, putting it in stocks, bonds, or putting it in bonds and CDs, or just plain old cash. Mi comadre likes to say cash is king, then boy, is she right.
I imagine that a lot of Trump's cronies who are smarter than him have seen what he was going to do and thought, this is great. I'll sell off all my stuff now and then buy it when he implements this. Right. And when he caves to stupid stuff because he doesn't know what he's doing, I'll buy it again. I'll buy it again.
People are just putting the money in savings accounts and whatnot. So fans of this show, do we have any fans? I'm not so sure. Listeners of this show, that's more accurate. Listeners of this show know that I'm a pretty big CBS guy, and we have not given the story the time it so richly deserves. CBS essentially doing what ABC did and offering to settle this goofy lawsuit that Trump has against CBS because he's ticked off that a story that aired on 60 Minutes made him look not so great. Now, when you do these interviews, by the way, you know, there could be 45 minutes, might be an hour, might be a half hour. But the story we see on any news program, unless it's like a long form reporting on maybe CNN or MSNBC or you know, public television, most of these interviews are 8 to 10 minutes, maybe 15. And so they're edited. So CBS, like they do all news stories, interviews, they edited it. And so Trump is saying, well, you didn't tell all the truth because you edited it, which is just baloney. And so now the Trumpster says, I'll take $25 million. And CBS, Paramount, because they want access to White House press rooms and the like, are now in negotiations to give that to him. So I'm not really happy at my CBS right now. But I was watching CBS this morning, and now it's just called CBS Mornings. And Yeah, they spent a little time on the news, but they spent a Gayle King is infatuated by Beyonce. So she wanted to spend a lot of time talking about Beyonce and the Grammys. And Tony DeCoppo, he decided to pick a fight with Taylor Swift, claiming that she cannot make a homemade Pop-Tart. And they had Alton Brown on to settle this. I'm not making this up. So in the time they spent talking about Beyonce and Pop-Tarts on CBS this morning, here's what they didn't tell you. Although their online news service did report this. I'm going to use the Associated Press story. All right. Headline, Rubio says El Salvador offers to accept deportees from U.S. or any nationality, including Americans. So yesterday I started the show by telling the story of when I worked for Congressman Klug and was down in El Salvador meeting with U.S. Ambassador and did some work for USAID. And quite frankly, my relationship with El Salvador over 25 plus years has changed my life and my perspective. I have a soft spot for the country, for the people. But about 6 years ago, this guy, Nayib Bukele, got elected. Now in El Salvador, according to their constitution, you could only have 1 5-year term. And if you wanted to run again, you had to wait 5 years to run again. He brought in the military into their essentially Congress. They call it a General Assembly. And he stood up at the dais at the front of the room and he said, "Let us pray. I am here to pray that all of you do the right thing and amend the Constitution to allow me to run for a second term. I'm going to leave now. I'll let you vote. I'm going to keep my guards here with their armed guns and hope you do the right thing. Let us pray." I'm paraphrasing, but not too much. Guess what? The General Assembly said, I think we'll do that. The Supreme Court in El Salvador said, time out, that's not constitutional. And Bukele had the military arrest the people and put them in jail and put new Supreme Court people in. Now, Salvadorans love this guy because he has put many years of gang wars and ravaged the country. And he put a lot of these gang people behind bars, built big prisons. According to international human rights experts, though, there might be up to 80,000 innocent Salvadorans behind bars. Because what he did is similar to what the Trump administration is doing, which is offering a tip line. So in El Salvador, if you had a tip on who might be a gang member, you just called it up, texted it. Hey, military would be there to round that person up, put them in prison. No trial, no nothing. Now you can imagine, well, hey, I think this guy is sleeping with my wife. I think he's in a gang. Boom, gone to prison. That's the kind of, but the country is much safer. So you got rid of the gang problem, but you also got a lot of innocents in jail as well. This is the guy, Bukele, that Marco Rubio sat down with yesterday. And Rubio and Trump have made a deal with Nayib Bukele. Hey, we have all these quote-unquote illegals in our country that we want to get rid of, but some of the countries don't want to take them back. Would you accept them into your prisons? Bukele said, sure, for a fee. Oh, and by the way, would you take United States citizens as well? I'll tell you Bukele's answer on the other side. It's the All Ball Show on Civic Media.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
The 2025 Wisconsin football schedule is here, and you should be too. Season tickets are on sale now, so don't miss your chance to jump around at Camp Randall Stadium this fall. Last year, 6 of 7 home games were sellouts, proof that there's nothing like game day with the Badgers. Secure your spot for marquee matchups against Ohio State, Washington, and Iowa, and enjoy the best value to see Wisconsin football in action. For more information and to get your season tickets, visit ewbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. In 1944, when Franklin Roosevelt said he would run for a fourth term, discussions began on a constitutional amendment to limit a U.S. president to two terms in office. In 1951, the 22nd Amendment was ratified. Now, a Tennessee congressman wants to repeal it. Would it actually be possible for Donald Trump to be president again? January 23rd, Representative Andy Ogles introduced a joint resolution proposing an amendment to the Constitution of the United States to provide that no person shall be elected to the office of the president more than three times. While the resolution received a lot of attention, constitutional amendments require a two-thirds majority in Congress and be ratified by three-quarters of the states, neither of which is likely. Trump himself has flirted with the idea of staying in the presidency. The Hill reported Trump told GOP leaders, quote, "I suspect I won't be running again unless you do something. Unless you say, he's so good, we just have to figure it out." A recent Politico article explained another scenario where a loophole in the 22nd Amendment could allow another presidential candidate to run with Donald Trump as vice president. The new president would then step down, allowing Trump to become president again. A 1999 Minnesota Law Review article discusses this and other such vaguely legal maneuvers as well. Unlikely, yes. Out of the question, no. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
News from the center, WRCE.
One threw a party in the county jail. The prison band was there, they began to wail. The band was jumping and the joint began to swing. You should have heard those knocked out jailbirds sing that rock.
Welcome back to the Tom Hall Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 21 past the hour, 12 noon on Tuesday, February 4th, 2025. What a great song. I haven't heard this song in a long time. Jailhouse Rock.
Great song. Nothing to do with what we're talking about right now.
Well, it is actually, as you know, we're talking about jails, prisons in El Salvador, a country I know very well. And so here's the deal. A listener, by the watcher, a viewer on YouTube, says, last thing I want is all the expense-paid trip to El Salvador. Trip there is free, but probably would have to figure out how to get back on my own. Now, look, I'm not here to beat up in El Salvador. Nobody's more pro-El Salvador in terms of the beaches and the country and the people and the food. It's a lovely, lovely place. It's like my second home, quite frankly. But this President Bukele is, he is a very smart guy. And has created partnerships with China in absence of good U.S. policy. China has built their national library. China is building their national soccer stadium. China has helped build some of the roads in El Salvador. It's all transactional with this guy, Bukele. According to the Associated Press, U.S. Secretary of State Marco Rubio left El Salvador today with an agreement that the country's president will accept deportees from the United States of any nationality, including violent American criminals now imprisoned in the United States. President Nayib Bukele, quote, has agreed to the most unprecedented, extraordinary migratory agreement anywhere in the world, unquote, Rubio said after meeting with Bukele at his lakeside country house outside of El Salvador, San Salvador, for several hours late Monday. Rubio went on to say, quote, we can send them and he will put them in his jails. And also, he's offered to do the same for dangerous criminals currently in custody and serving their sentences in the United States, even though they are U.S. citizens or legal residents, unquote. I don't have time in the show to go through the litany of constitutional laws that this breaks. The United States Constitution guarantees certain human rights to every human being, regardless of whether they're a U.S. citizen or not. There are additional rights extended under the Constitution to United States citizens. The idea that a president could single-handedly dismiss the U.S. Constitution and send American citizens abroad to serve their time is reprehensible. Now, people are going to say, well, Todd, it's reprehensible what some of these people did. Agreed. Agreed. And I believe in certain cases where the DNA evidence is unequivocal, some guy, some guy mutilates somebody's body and sexually abuses them and chops them up and puts them in a garbage can. Hey, fire up old Sparky, as far as I'm concerned. Fry him. But to go against the Constitution, that's the problem here, you guys. And you say, well, this doesn't affect me. Okay. What about when it's a black or a brown person, or you know what, just a white dude that's quote-unquote causing trouble? You know, those white dudes that are in the United States Department of Justice who are bringing charges against Donald Trump. Oh, we'll send them down to Salvadoran prisons where there are no human rights.
I could even see them expanding the definition of violent criminal to a, I'm going to use their words for it, not how I believe, a man in women's sports.
Right, sure.
Because that's, physical activity. They could say that that's potentially violent and then they get trans people sent out.
They can make up anything they want. Once you throw out the Constitution, once you say the Constitution no longer matters, you could do anything you want. And we're not hearing about this on legacy or mainstream media. And my opinion is the reason why is because you have major legacy companies like ABC Disney and CBS Paramount Global making $25 million settlements with Trump because they want access for their ratings. Here's Marco Rubio, by the way, on getting rid of United States Department, U.S. Agency for International Development. Here's Rubio.
I think they're a global entity and that their master is the globe and not the United States. And that's not what the statute says, and that's not sustainable.
Can it be reformed or does it need to die?
Well, that was always the goal, was to reform it. But now we have rank insubordination. Now we have basically an active effort. Their basic attitude is we don't work for anyone. We work for ourselves. No agency of government can tell us what to do.
Really? All right. Marco Rubio is accusing employees of the U.S. Agency for International Development of rank insubordination. You know what they're doing? You have long-term U.S. servants who are standing up to people who are unelected, unvetted, uncleared secure documents. And they're saying, you don't meet the qualification. We took an oath to the Constitution. And because of that, they're being accused of insubordination. They're insubordinate to a dictator. It's lies after lies with this guy, Rubio. And as I said, Jane and Greg talked a little bit about this last hour, and we're going to get into a little bit more. This story that Elon Musk and his handful of people are now having access to not only reading code that oversees government payments, but writing it. Elon Musk is originally from South Africa. As it turns out, USAID was one of the main U.S. organizations that assisted the anti-apartheid movement and supported supported the anti-apartheid movement. And it changed the way Elon Musk grew up in white privilege. Elon Musk is bitter at USAID because it got rid of the apartheid movement in South Africa. That's why he's taking it out. It's a personal grudge. And it also turns out Elon Musk is just a thief. We'll explain that. Tuesday Tangent Lukester. I'm wearing all white today because it's a whiteout. At Badger Basketball, talk about that. Take your calls. It's the All Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is News from the Center, WRCE. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Grain markets are up midday on a Tuesday, and some of that is thanks to challenges in South America right now. I'm Stephanie Hoff, and you're listening to the Midwest Farm Report. Market advisor John Heinberg from Total Farm Marketing says wet weather and sheer abundance has made logistics difficult for our competitors in South America to move grain. That's price supportive for growers here at home.
The reason that supports the soybean market is we just can't get those beans to the ports down there to provide that competition on the export front. And when when those exporters need those beans, they raise prices, encourage producers to try to get them there. And as bean prices go up, our prices go up a little bit. So we got some tie there. So we're watching. The other problem they're having, this crop is so big down there, the logistics of handling this supply has kind of plugged up the system in terms of getting things where they need to. And then maybe until that gets straightened out as well, it just could be a little bit supportive of this market.
John Heinberg, along with us from Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend. Stick around for a look at our midday commodity prices coming up next.
Join Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke at the 2025 Corn Soy Expo on February 6th and 7th at the Kalahari Resort in the Wisconsin Dells. Pam will be broadcasting on Thursday at 11:30 a.m. with Compeer Financial, located in booth 409. Leave with more knowledge and connections with a visit with Compeer Financial. Enter to win Milwaukee tools for your farm. At 2 p.m., the broadcast continues with the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board at booth 402. For more information or to make plans to attend, visit cornsoyexpo.org.
It's all about the bacon. Hanging bacon. Enjoy bacon and friends while celebrating at the 2025 Porkapalooza, Thursday, February 6th at the Corn Soy Expo in the Wisconsin Dells. Porkapalooza features pork appetizers, beverages, live music by Super Tuesday in both live and silent auctions supporting youth programs and the Wisconsin pork industry. There will also be some special appearances by Mr. Pig and U.S. Olympic swimmer Phoebe Bacon. Porkapalooza is presented by the Wisconsin Pork Association. To learn more, visit cornsoyexpo.org.
As promised, markets are trading higher midday on a Tuesday. From Chicago, cash corn is up a nickel and a half at 494 and a quarter. December new crop corn is up 2 1/4 cents at 467 and a half. Cash beans are up 8 3/4 cents at 1067 a bushel. November new crop beans are up 4 3/4 at 1068 a bushel. Cash wheat is up a penny and a half at 568 and a quarter. And July new crop wheat up a penny and a quarter at 591 and a half. Class 3 milk contracts are also looking up. The March contract is up 4 cents, trading at 1966 a hundredweight, and the April contract is up 14 cents, trading at 1945 a hundredweight. There's a look at your markets midday on a Tuesday for the Midwest Farm Report. I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Partly cloudy and chilly today, with high temperatures tapping 20 degrees and feisty winds knocking us back to really feeling about 10 to 15 degrees cooler. Those will ease tonight and we get warmer tomorrow, bringing a chance of snow in the afternoon and a wintry mix overnight. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlau. Right now, it's 16 degrees.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Open that conversation with this person that you disagree with so much by trying to find the shared value, the thing that you both actually agree about. Challenge yourself to keep bringing it back to the value that we agree on and maybe even the outcome that we wish to see. Go have the tough conversation, because you know what gets better with practice? Those tough conversations.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Maggie Dawn.
At 3 o'clock, I'm joined by Supreme Court candidate and current Dane County Judge Susan Crawford. We discuss Brad Schimmel getting on his knees next.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
to the Todd Umball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 34 minutes now past the hour of 12 noon on this Tuesday, February 4th, 2025. Glad to have you along. Zommer's on the board. If it's Tuesday, it must be Tangens. Our old friend, our colleague, you know him, you love him, Mr. Luke Mathers. Lukester, how the heck are you?
I'm doing well, Todd. How are you doing?
For a Tuesday, not bad at all. Now, we are both, we did not plan this, we are both in our Wisconsin gear for those watching on YouTube and Facebook and Butterfly Twitter and all those other things on the live stream.
Butterfly Twitter.
Well, that's Blue Sky and Twitter combined.
Yeah, they don't do live streaming yet.
Anyway, I have my white, I bought this specifically for a football game a couple of years ago. I have my white Wisconsin gear on. Lukestra has a very nice quarter zip gray Wisconsin top on.
A, I didn't know it was a whiteout tonight. And B, what was I going to say?
I had that moment a couple of minutes ago, and I'm like half your age. So.
It's okay. I'm just dealing with the. Yeah, you're half my age. You're right. Yeah.
No, you're half my age.
Yeah, but I was not planning on matching it, but it's game day today.
It is game day, and for those lucky enough to be in the beautiful burgs of Amory, Wisconsin Rapids, Racine, Kenosha, and Richland Center, you can listen to it across the airwaves on our stations there. Wisconsin takes on Indiana tonight. A broadcast starts at 7 p.m., tip-off at the Kohl Center, 8 p.m. I am fortunate enough to know people that have tickets. My good friend Jeff Daniels, he gets season tickets, and his lovely wife Vicky, who's a wonderful person. They do a lot of things together, but she's just not a huge basketball fan.
She's like, hey, Todd's available? Yeah, take Todd.
Right, so she says, hey, get out of the house once in a while, and so he runs through his list, and so once in a while I get put in the rotation, and I get called up. So tonight's one of my lucky nights, so I'm going to the whiteout, so I thought I better dress appropriately.
There you go. So, well, hopefully you have a blast. Hopefully the Badgers take home a W, and they can get back on track with the Big Ten play.
Yeah, I did. You watch the game over the weekend? It was the Northwestern.
I saw parts of it.
Yeah, great game.
We were doing Sun Prairie has a big groundhog.
Just yes,
weekend full yes. of groundhog. Some friends of ours and I, the four of us went out to the groundhog open, which is a bar crawl from bars across Sun Prairie, where you do little putt-putt holes. And so it's a bar crawl, but you also got to keep the scorecard with you, have your golf ball with you. And there's a lot of people dressed up. We didn't dress up, but we had some fun. We were playing a little putt-putt, drinking some beers, and we watched the Badgers in the background.
Why was this not told to me before Groundhog Day on a previous edition of Tuesday Tangents?
And I didn't know that we were going last Tuesday, I don't think. Like, it came across one of, I think it was, I was the one that found it.
Make sure you don't tell Todd, because we don't want him to go with us.
Well, we had our foursome set, so I think we found out on Thursday, and I texted some friends of ours. They were like, yeah, we were already planning on doing kind of an adult's day, because they were planning on a babysitter because they got two little ones. So the four of us, Kelsey and the two of them and I, we played some putt-putt, and I kicked some butt.
Congratulations. Yeah. Kick some butt of the putt-putt.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to get back to Groundhog Day in a second.
All right.
But I want to kind of button this last subject up, because we told people after the break we'd follow up on something. So the story we led the show off with, a couple of things. That Marco Rubio, Secretary of State, was down in Central America in El Salvador yesterday. He's made a deal with Salvadoran President Nayib Bukele to not only accept deportees of other countries from the U.S., but actually now, as it turns out, hey, you got a U.S. citizen you don't want? Bring them on down to El Salvador. We'll be happy to put them in our prison. And going along with that, you've got Elon Musk kind of overseeing this shutdown of USAID. And I said, and of course, I couldn't think of it, like I said earlier, Musk is from South Africa and grew up during the apartheid. And USAID, as it turns out, was one of the main governmental entities from the United States that teamed with the Nelson Mandela folks to help end the apartheid movement and end apartheid in South Africa. Oh, geez, that really sucks for a white dude like, you know, Elon Musk, as it turns out. So he's a little bitter at USAID for taking away his way of life.
It sucks in like the easiest way to define that word, though. Like,
it was tongue in cheek, obviously.
That's the thing, is it's his family still owns emerald mines in South Africa. Like,
he's bitter he had to share with the majority of South Africa.
Yeah, and so the...
he's a trite person.
It was very...
I mean, trite's not the right word, go ahead.
I think it was a little shocking that USAID was the first target, because this is pretty early here.
Yeah.
And we're only days in. Like,
and most people don't know about this agency.
This is only day 15. And if you're looking for quote-unquote government efficiencies, sorry, this is not where you're going to be saving American taxpayers. It is just foolish to think that this is a sound attack. We've had both Republican and Democratic presidential administrations praise the work that organization does around the world. It is a good thing for us to be working with allies and developing nations throughout the entire globe, and to dismantle it, take it apart, and say, hey, we're going to stop funding these things in the name of government efficiency, or even worse, as grinding an axe against what happened in South Africa, is ludicrous.
It goes beyond his personal grudge against USAID for Elon Musk. It goes to this other story that I was saying that Jane and Greg had talked about on their great show, Matt and Aaron Air, which airs every morning from 10 until noon before us. But there's a reporter here, Nathan Tankus, who writes this great piece called Notes on the Crisis. And he has a long piece, a great article. You can find it at Notes on the Crisis or at Nathan Tankus, T-A-N-K-U-S. And we're going to summarize more of this, I hope, in the next hour here. But just the highlight here, specifically this guy, Marco Elez, 25-year-old, all at 25. He's a former SpaceX employee, as it turned out, has read and write access for the Payment Automation Manager, better known as PAM, and Secure Payment System, SPS, at the Bureau of Fiscal Services. PAM processed $4.7 trillion of payments in 2025. This dude is unelected. He is unconfirmed. He is unvetted. He has no security clearance. Remember, the Department of Government Efficiency, they call it DOGE. I'm going to start calling it Doggy. Doggy is not a real thing. It wasn't created by Congress. It's not a real thing. And this guy has got his minion in there, as Jane said. He has control over $4.7 trillion. And it reminds me, Luke, of one of my favorite, yes, Christmas movies, Die Hard, when Holly confronted Hans.
For all your posturing, all your little speeches, you're nothing but a common thief.
I am an exceptional thief, Mrs. And
since I'm an exceptional thief. At the end of the day, Luke, he's just a bitter guy, a small guy, and a thief.
Yeah, the seemingly looting of what our Treasury Department does and deciding that he's going to play a god for who turns on the spigot and who turns off the spigot at his whim is the craziest aspect. Nobody voted for Elon Musk. No one. And for the fact of all of the... For my entire life, I've heard about the... Oh, George Soros, this billionaire, this millionaire that's Democrat. Behind the curtain, the Democrat billionaire that's pulling the strings. Elon Musk is going and doing all of the things that the right wing feared was happening, that ginned up this imaginary villain in their heads.
Accusations.
And they have now, they're sitting front row, and for a lot of these folks that decry those accusations, they're just watching this happen without as little as a peep of criticism against Elon Musk.
I want to play this cut, get your take on it, Luke. This is, I've really come to like this guy. I didn't know a lot about him. This story in Political turning me on. I've read more about him. Brian Schatz, Democratic senator.
Brian's great.
From Hawaii.
Senator Schatz is great.
Like this guy a lot. Here were his thoughts I believe this was yesterday afternoon, on the Trump administration essentially closing down or merging USAID into Department of State.
If you want to change an agency, introduce a bill and pass a law. You cannot wave away an agency that you don't like or that you disagree with by executive order or by literally storming into the building and taking over the servers. That is not how the American system of government works. That's number one. Number two is, it is true that there will be suffering all over the world. There already is suffering all over the world as a result of this. But it's not just that. It's that that instability from starvation and disease will visit us in the United States of America. There is a reason that USAID is an arm of American foreign policy, and it is because we understand that a stable world means a stable America.
Democratic Senator, U.S. Senator Brian Schatz of Hawaii. Luke Mathers, again, whatever people think about George W. Bush, fine. But even the most liberal person in D.C. and other places will say, you know what? What he did with PEPFAR through USAID in Africa has saved millions mm-hmm. of lives. But even if you don't care about other people's lives, to Senator Schatz's point, eventually this will visit U.S. shores.
Yeah, it is the giant meme on the internet of I didn't know that for people that are supporting the leopard or face-eating leopard party, they're like, oh, so shocked when all of a sudden the leopards ate your face. It's eventually it comes around. It's one of those things where it's like, okay, it's in the name. And so, yes, a lot of these things boomerang. I think the senator is on point that there are going to be ramifications from this dismantling of USAID to the federal freeze for funding. We're seeing programs here in Wisconsin. There is a Head Start program in Waukesha
yes.
where families are right now lost without that service because it shut down. Because despite the fact that the confusion around we're going to do a giant freeze. Oh, wait, we're not going to do the freeze. Just kidding. Oh, wait, we were kidding about kidding. And now it's this whiplash of these agencies, these organizations, everyone from top to bottom, not sure of where things stand right now. This instability trickles down and it leads to a Head Start program in Waukesha County that is currently closed. And those families do not have that service that they depend upon so that they can go to work, so that they can make sure that their families are taken care of. Those are the real world ramifications that we're not going to just see in an isolated incident once in Waukesha County. It's going to ripple through and we're going to continue to see these things over and over and over again. And it is clear that there needs to be somebody in Washington, D.C. that stands up to this. But it is disheartening that over the last 15 days, that person, those people have not yet emerged.
Again, Jane and Greg were talking about this on Matt Air on Air. I think it was Sean Fetteplace was talking about just what you were talking about, that there are institutions within Wisconsin that affects kids and families who are shut down. I have friends from my former life in politics and government, in both the Department of Justice and we have, I know people in military, people in agriculture. It is chaos right now across these agencies, these federal agencies or agencies that rely on federal money or assistance. And to Senator Schatz's point, look, I don't begrudge if Donald Trump wants to change things now that he was elected. That's his right. But there's orderly ways to go about it that have to be followed, in particular this little thing called the Constitution. And once you throw that out, and I know I've tried really hard not to use this word as much as I did before the election, but there are reasons I use the word authoritarian leading up to the election. And this is the example of it.
Yes. Unelected individuals like Elon Musk just being given a green light to loot and ravage whatever they want to do, unfortunately, is a symptom of authoritarianism.
Back with more Lukester after this is the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. In 1944, when Franklin Roosevelt said he would run for a fourth term, discussions began on a constitutional amendment to limit a U.S. president to two terms in office. In 1951, the 22nd Amendment was ratified. Now, a Tennessee congressman wants to repeal it. Would it actually be possible for Donald Trump to be president again? January 23rd, Representative Andy Ogles introduced a joint resolution proposing an amendment to the Constitution of the United States to provide that no person shall be elected to the office of the president more than three times. While the resolution received a lot of attention, constitutional amendments require a two-thirds majority in Congress and be ratified by three-quarters of the states, neither of which is likely. Trump himself has flirted with the idea of staying in the presidency. The Hill reported Trump told GOP leaders, quote, "I suspect I won't be running again unless you do something. Unless you say, he's so good, we just have to figure it out." A recent Politico article explained another scenario where a loophole in the 22nd Amendment could allow another presidential candidate to run with Donald Trump as vice president. The new president would then step down, allowing Trump to become president again. A 1999 Minnesota Law Review article discusses this and other such vaguely legal maneuvers as well. Unlikely, yes. Out of the question, no. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Veal.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
News from the Center, WRCE.
Welcome in to Luke Mather's post-dental mind. As the Novocaine wears off, these are the voices he hears. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show, 8 before the hour of 1 o'clock. Coming up at hour 2, what's worse? Are you a high-energy or a low-energy person? We'll discuss it in hour 2.
Which one's worse?
What's worse?
So you got to be careful how you're framing the question.
Well, that's true. That's true. You're a little low energy because you have dental work done today.
I haven't had any coffee yet this morning. I can feel I had a little numbing work done for the filling, and I can feel my face again, which is great.
Well, that's good.
Right before we jumped on the air, I was like, oh, cool. I'm good. Good to go. So I'm going to go get myself a cup of coffee after this.
Well, very good. Our friend and colleague Luke Mathers here on the show on a Tuesday tangent with Lukester. Going to do some grinding of gears. But first, let's go to the phone lines, 855-752-4842. Mark in Pertisac. Mark, thanks for holding. What say you?
Yeah, are they coming in with armed troops, actually, when they come into these agencies? And are these young little bucks coming in and just pushing their way in and...
That's a great question.
Mark's control.
Yeah, Mark's talking about this. The Trump administration is seizing USAID, and I have not seen any actually armed guards, but they are security people that are.
It seems like, Mark, that there was some back and forth about personnel and who was able to get into these offices. I don't believe there's any armed escalations, but there were some career Treasury officials that were pushing back against Elon, insisting where his staffers were going to be placed. And it was one of the reasons why we lost a top career Treasury official. Mm-hmm. They resigned over the weekend past couple of days because they did not agree to it. And so it was kind of, if you're not going to give the admin permissions to these staffers, we'll replace you and find somebody who will. Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, but what gets me is that has been said. I mean, none of these guys have security clearances, and who knows? They haven't been vetted. Who knows what they are doing with this information? It's been brought up again and again, probably. Yeah. But these guys, that for all we know, they're sticking their little thumb drive in there, and then they're going and selling this information to some Nigerian prince so they can steal people's identities. I mean,
or Russia, China,
or Russia, or whatever. I mean, I bring up the Nigerian prince because that's the thing you see on the internet all the time. I'm a Nigerian prince, and I'm, you know, if you give me this, if you give me $100, I'll give you $3,000.
Right.
Oh, they always ask for way more than $100 from me, Mark. You're lucky. You get off easy.
I once had one of those people on the phone, and I kept them on the phone for a good 20 minutes, just stringing it out. And then I laid down a line I can't say on the radio, and boy, did they take a turn.
Yeah, because if I was there and doing this, I'd be giving these little punks an earful. I mean, that because, you know, what do you got to lose at this point? And if they take a swing at you, you know, that just say, well, have that little person arrested and thrown in jail.
Thanks, Mark. I appreciate the call as always. 855-752-4842. Look, 5 minutes before the hour. We haven't done this in a couple of weeks because we get sidetracked.
And
so I want to make sure that we get on a tangent, as it turns out.
Yeah.
What's grinding your gears, Luke Mathers?
All right. So I got to preface this because I don't want any haters getting mad at me about it. But
haters gonna hate.
Yeah. I'm a dog person 100%. I love my dogs.
Yes.
I hot take. I think there are too many dogs in my neighborhood now.
Oh.
There are too many dogs.
Says the man that just bought a second dog.
No, I bought her a year ago. Oh. Like we've had people move into the neighborhood. There's been like other people getting new dogs too. I don't know how to exactly regulate this, but there are too many dogs in our neighborhood. And I don't know what to do.
Who is the violator?
Everybody's a violator. They all are barking at everybody. There's just nonsense. Like, I can't go around the block anymore without, like every other window in the neighborhood has dogs coming up to it just bark. And I know that my dogs are also offenders. Like, they're barking more. There's just too many dogs in the neighborhood. And there's constantly somebody always walking. So it's just... If anybody's got any tips for how to keep your dogs from barking at other dogs through the windows, I would love to know. But we were on a meeting yesterday. I don't know if you heard them, and they lost their they were barking like crazy. Okay, well, it's good that you
didn't hear. I have bad hearing though.
That's fair. Zomers, did you hear him on the meeting?
I did not. Oh, I think Zoom and other similar meeting software has gotten pretty good at canceling out dog barks.
You realize this is the very definition of pot calling the kettle black.
Yeah, I understand that. I don't know. Do I have to move? Is that what I have to do? Do I have to go find a neighborhood?
Luke Mathers, who now has two dogs, says what's grinding his gears is that the neighborhood has too many dogs.
I don't know if other people are experiencing this or not, but there's just so many dogs now. Like every single house, and no house just has like one dog either. Like,
which brings up an interesting topic. There are some communities, like my hometown, Richland Center, now that have banned having, like, when I was on city council back in the day, we allowed up to 5 or 6 hens if people wanted to raise hens, you know, in their yard. But now, oh my God, we can't have a chicken and the price of eggs. So we're telling people you can't have a chicken. What does a chicken do?
The problem is
and then you got dogs doing this.
Problem.
Well, you ever had dog flu? Like, think about it. Do people say, "Oh, I'm sick as a bird"? No. I am sick as a dog. That's what people say.
Hey,
nobody's getting bird flu. People are getting sick as a dog.
You know how you avoid high price of eggs? Just shop locally. We've got a farm in Sun Prairie that we purchase ours. It is a great place to get your eggs, and you don't have to worry about the
crap.
Rising costs.
We got time for the Punxsutawney Phil, the second one where Josh Shapiro's going crazy on PETA.
No, we really don't.
We're too close. Oh. We're too close to the end. Sorry.
Stick around for the...
I can't.
You're right down the hall.
I know, but I'm loaded up.
Jimmy the Groundhog says it's going to be an early spring in Sun Prairie.
Yes.
But stay tuned. In hour number 2, this is the kind of Democrats we need. People who will stand up for groundhogs. Thank you, Luke Mathers. Hour 2 is straight...
This is News from the Center, WRCE. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Trump's executive orders and tariffs. What is that doing to Wisconsin farmers? Darren Von Ruden joins us. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. The Maggie Dawn Show.
There are solutions to the rot in the Supreme Court, and it's a congressional binding code of ethics. There are solutions to the corruption. It's a constitutional amendment to declare that money isn't speech and corporations aren't people, and we can do this. These are things that Americans agree on no matter our party. We all know that presidents aren't kings.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s nomination for Secretary of Health and Human Services has passed its first hurdle, the Senate Finance Committee approving his consideration. The vote was along party lines, 14-13, and helped by Republican Senator Bill Cassidy, who originally said he had reservations, but Kennedy gave him assurances.
We'll meet or speak multiple times a month. This collaboration will allow us to work well together and therefore to be more effective.
A group of FBI agents who assisted in January 6 criminal investigations filed suit today in an effort to block the Justice Department from assembling lists of agents for potential disciplinary actions or firings. The first flight carrying migrants to Guantanamo Bay is planned to arrive today. Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth has said previously that those facilities would be used to house, quote, the worst of the worst in terms of criminals being deported. Sources confirm that President Trump is planning to attend the Super Bowl in New Orleans this weekend. This is ABC News.
You can always